G'day, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kickbait?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kick in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. And it's good to be back with you again. It's, 4 weeks in a row? New record for me. So, doing quite well. Not much going on this week in wrestling, as everyone knows. I don't know why I keep saying that every week so far, but I am. It is good to see stuff happening, though, with restrictions being lifted around the country coming up. And who knows, in the not-too-distant future, we can be starting to put shows back on and starting to get content out there for you people to be able to go to see live, maybe in a reduced capacity right now, but eventually we'll get back to the way we were, hopefully. One thing though, going ahead in wrestling, if you are a training professional wrestler at the moment, EPW, the School of Pro Wrestling, are expanding their online training to the world with a 4-week live interactive training series. Quarantine and geography are no longer obstacles in furthering your pro wrestling education with these guys. More details are released soon, but it's called the Super Web Series. There'll be 10 live seminars and a one-on-one match feedback. It is from the 18th of May through to the 14th of June. It's $150 for a season pass. Limited spots, so get on it right now. Register at info@epwadelaide.com. That is info@epw.com. You've got Damien Slater, Davis Storm, Gavin McGavin as the trainers there. A wealth of knowledge between the three of them. And, get on it, because it is something that is really, really going to help you. Especially, like, at the moment, you can't go out there and do your roles. You can't be out there and work on in-ring stuff. So the stuff that these guys are going to teach you, psychology, all the other stuff that are just as important as the moves in professional wrestling. So please do get on if you can and support these guys and get out there and learn something for yourselves. My guest this week is the MCW world champion, Adam Brooks, a good mate of mine and one of the, unfortunately, unluckiest guys in Australian professional wrestling, as he was just about to take up his contract with Ring of Honor over in America when the world blew up. And we talked to him about that and a whole lot more right here today on Wrestle Radio Australia. I am joined tonight by the amazingly hairy MCW World Champion, Adam Brooks, mate. Like, quarantine's really, really fucking with you, isn't it? Look at you.
What's going on? I thought, you know what? During this time, I'm just going to grow everything out and just see what happens. So, me and Matt have spoke about it. Like, oh, let's see how long we can grow our beards and stuff. I guess he has to sort of maintain his a little because he's still on TV and stuff. But like, yeah. Dude, my hair, I haven't shaved my quads in months, obviously, because I'm not So yeah, I thought, you know what, let's see how we go. It's getting a bit out of control, but you know what, we'll deal with it whenever I can start wrestling again, so I can look presentable on the streams and all that.
See, I had the opposite effect. The first, like, 3 weeks into it, I just completely shaved my face and walked out. And my Nick's just like, "What the hell did you do? Stop that! Grow it back!" I'm like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "I look like a baby." Like,
I was thinking of doing that. Like, I'll get rid of all of it. But then, RCW were uploading like older stuff from 2011. When
you saw the haircut,
baby. And I was like, oh, nah, I'll leave it. So, we'll deal with it later.
You'll be good. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Like, you at least have hair. I mean, I really don't have a choice with the upstairs. It's sort of like, it's bald or just like, I look like...
Well, yeah.
I got the solar panel happening now, so it's bullshit.
Well, touch wood, it stays. Like, my dad's got no hair, and I'm 29 now, so I think I'm doing all right. Like, I think Dad started losing his hair around like 25. So I'm praying that I'm going to be okay.
Doesn't it like skip? Doesn't it skip a generation? Like, if your granddad had a full head of hair, you're all right. I think. I don't know. Because I know my granddad has my exact hair. But my dad, he had like a little bit of a receding hairline, but nothing like I fucking got. But then he didn't have to deal with all you fuckers.
We see, what I've heard is it comes from your mother's dad.
Oh, okay.
And like, he ran away when she was young, so she doesn't bloody know what he looks like. So hopefully he's out there somewhere and he's still got his hair. So
full of the hair, you know. Just like...
So that I have the same luck. What a way to start the podcast.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, what else are we going to talk about now? That's the shittiest thing about this, is that we can't just sit down and talk about what's going on at the moment in wrestling, because ain't nothing going on. But you got caught in that, like, the really... You're one of the most unlucky fuckers, I think, in Australian wrestling at the moment, where you were set to... What were you, 2 weeks away from actually going over there, or a week away from going to America to start up your ROH contract? And all this shit blew up,
yeah.
As they say.
It was real bad timing. Like I just signed with them, and then me and Slexi were going to wrestle in Vegas on pay-per-view, which was real cool, because pay-per-view has always been like goal. I think it's any wrestler's goal to say that they've wrestled on pay-per-view. And then it was like a slight blessing in disguise, because the visa sometimes, the process takes longer than expected. So unfortunately, the visa, it wasn't ready anyway. And then, so they got a replacement in and stuff, but like poor Slexi, he was in the air as they made the announcement saying, oh, we've canceled the show. So like poor Slexi lands, and then he like looks at his phone and stuff and sees that, oh, it's all canceled and shit. So then he got some dinner, he had a beer, and then he got straight back on the plane and 14 hours back to Melbourne. So, I mean, I guess I'm lucky I didn't have to do that. But they were pushing to get the visa ready for Mania weekend for Supercard of Honor. But then the world just went to shit.
Well, yeah. So that's pretty much the only way you can describe it, isn't just, it?
Yeah, man. It's such bad timing, because I was on such a roll. You know, just won the MCW belt, and then, you know, finally get an opportunity, you know, signing a contract somewhere. And yeah, now I can't wrestle. So, but like, I've got to try and look at it positively, you know, like everyone can't wrestle unless you're like, you know, like a WWE or something. But
yeah,
I'm not out with a crazy injury. Like, everyone is in the same position, you know? So
yeah. The way I explained it to Sebi and that, I was like, it feels like the whole of pro wrestling got a torn ACL. Everyone's just out for 8 months. There's nothing anyone can do about it.
It sucks, but I guess you gotta just try be positive. Like, I'm getting a break. I didn't want to have a break, but I mean, my body's not complaining. Like, I was pushing it for a while and my elbows were pretty banged up. So I guess it's just a little bit of a blessing to get some nagging little injuries to just heal up and then probably hurt them again when I get back into it, but whatever.
First bump. Fuck!
Dude, that first bump. Yeah, that's gonna suck. It's gonna be like that first day back of wrestling school when you take that first bump and I'm more worried about like my ring cardio.
Well, yeah, because that is totally different from actually having just normal cardio. I don't think people understand how different that shit is.
No, like, you can do as many burpees or bloody jump squats or whatever as you want. But, like, when you get in that ring and you run the ropes and get thrown around and take bumps and all of that, like, it's completely different. It's so different. And, like, I'm real nervous because the position that I'm in, my first match back, they'll probably be like, oh, yeah, 20, 25, there you go. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, 20, 25 against someone who's really fucking, like, Ed dying to fucking put on an awesome match.
Yeah, you know. I can't.
You need him to fly. Like, six
tally match.
No, you need him to fly Rocky in because then it'll just be like headlocks.
Yeah, that'll be nice and slow. What? That's not a negative.
No, no. It's just a different way of working.
He ain't doing spots. He ain't wrestling like me or Robbie. That would be a bit silly.
Well, he doesn't have although, to. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, I wish, yeah, you know. He needs to bring back the springboard elbow, though. That was cool.
Well, you did. Was it you that did the bloody destroyer with him? Somebody did a Canadian destroyer with him. Like, he did the Canadian destroyer.
So when I got back from England or something, he was like, oh, I want to this was his idea. He goes, oh, I want to take the destroyer on the apron. And I started giggling. And I was like, you? like, but your neck, because his neck's a bit yeah. Cooked. But he went for it. We didn't really nail it. But I've seen some videos that he's been giving it a few times. I think he only does that to sort of give himself a bit of a chuckle. But yeah, he needs to do the springboard elbow again. I was always pretty impressed when he used to do that.
My favorite one of his, and it sounds stupid, is he does that DiBiase fist drop. You know, where he just stands next to the guy and just drops slowly into it.
His little fist pump, fist drop thingy.
Yeah, I love that. But I'm an old school, like, DiBiase mark, so all that shit I love.
Yeah, that's fine. It's good. It's old fine. School.
Oh, my motherfucker.
Today's generation might want a flip into it or something, but...
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
Flavors of ice cream.
That's right. That's right. Now explain to me, because I've had it loosely explained to me the sort of the newer style of psychology in a match, where it's like you have spots, but they lead to. Do you know what I mean? It's like you build the spots instead of just like the heat, the comeback, the all that sort of deal. You don't have to give away everything if you don't want.
See, I'm trying to think of how to explain this, because the way I was trained and the guy that I trained by he did that style where it was that fast-paced, you know, style.
Yeah.
Whereas he's now in like WWE and he's been trained that WWE way. To a degree, he still does that stuff, but he takes his time. It's a lot slower, and he tries to, like, build to it. And I try to do the same. So instead of just, like, you know, a billion head kicks, which even at times I'll watch stuff like that, and I'll be like, and I'm sure people, they may watch some of my stuff and they may react the same, like, but I don't know. I try to make it make as much sense as I can, really. Like, it's hard to explain, like, and I think that's why I try to drag out my transitions in my matches, because I don't want to just go straight to this after I've taken a billion things, you know, let's slowly work there, boom, then let's get there. And then it's very hard to explain, but like when I'm in the ring, when I'm thinking and when I'm trying to put something together, I can just just visualize it and be like, boom, boom, boom. Okay, boom, boom. That might be too much. Maybe, I don't know, we'll duck this or... It's so weird.
Watching you do that diss then is exactly how you look backstage. I look just, to the side, all I see is you doing this.
So Bret Hart, I saw Bret Hart say this somewhere, and Loverboy and Herbie, they're big Bret Hart guys, and they always tell me to watch all this Bret Hart stuff, so every now and then I will. And I remember Bret Hart said, if I was a fan watching a match, this is the type of match that I would want to watch. And he would go out there and do it. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm the same, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I understand.
Like, sorry, you just broke up. But like,
sorry.
I'm the same. If I'm sitting there, I'm gonna want to wrestle how I would want to see it if I was in the crowd. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Like this deathmatch phase that's for some reason coming back into Australia. I sit there and I go, I don't want to do that. Like, it just doesn't appeal to me, you know?
Yeah. I don't think, like...
I think it's a bit silly.
Unless you had a story building to it, I don't think that doesn't suit you at all. Like, unless you had a story was a big feud that led to wanting to beat the ever-living shit out of... I don't understand. Like, that doesn't suit you in any way, shape, or form. Like, as a booker, I would never put you in that spot because I'm like, well, that's not a Brooksy spot.
Dude, like, I grew up loving ladder matches and I hate being in them.
Yeah. But no, you're right. You grew up loving the Hardy Boys and ladder matches. Doesn't mean that you actually like doing them, but it's something that you grew up loving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I just try and wrestle how I like to watch wrestling.
And it works for you because the style that you do, people are loving anyway. So it's not just the fact that this is the way I like to wrestle, so I'm just going to wrestle this way and I don't care what anyone else thinks. The crowd obviously love the way you work, so it works for you.
Yeah, and like that's sort of how I look at things. Like I see some of these older guys may say stuff and complain and stuff, but I don't know, like something's working for me. So I'm going to just keep doing my thing and people still enjoy my stuff. And this is how I perform. So I'm just going to keep doing it until, you know, maybe I get too beat up and broken down that I have to slow down to a degree. But like, I think I've slowed down already anyway. Like I watch dudes like, I don't know, Young Royce, for example. Like, I think I'm a bit slower than him. Don't do as much either.
No, well, well no. How long into, like, working did you feel comfortable about going into a match and sort of just leading a match and then letting a guy know when it was time for you to come out? Because I know when I worked with you, I think it was 2015 now. That back then, that was when you felt, I remember watching you with Brody and you were like from ringside, being ringside as your manager, listening to you tell him when it was time for him to hit a couple back on you and all that sort of stuff. And it struck me then, I was like, I wonder when he realized that's, he knows how to do that now. How long did that take you?
That's a good question.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the one for the podcast.
I want to say maybe 2013, 2014. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember This is probably where it came from. I remember I wrestled Matt in his last match before he went to WWE, and we did something. It was like a double down or something. And the crowd was coming, and I think I slowly started to get up and move a little bit. And he goes, "Wait." And he's just laying there going, "Wait, wait, 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 wait." And I'm like, "Oh, this is why he's telling me to wait, because these people are coming."
Mm-hmm.
And then they were up as high as what he probably thought at the time. He goes, "All right, let's go." And then I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then, so I think from that point, I was like, oh, okay. So when the crowd was coming, he told me to wait. And then just constantly work and work and work. And like that year, in 2013, I worked a lot of like more experienced guys like Matt, Crackers, Slexi for the first time. And then the dog, sorry. And then RCW, I was probably working like Maddie and Cree. So just working those guys, and then just finally realizing, oh, there's a crowd here. Let's get them to sort of help tell this story, you know, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's like, it struck me when I heard you do it. I'm like, because I heard you do it, and in my head, I'm like, fuck, that's brilliant. And it's something that I've carried with me now. When I can hear a crowd, and if I'm managing the Gen Next boys, because they are fairly new, I'll tell them, like, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, now, that sort of thing. Because it's something I learned just by being around you, watching you work. So I guess that sort of just feeds on to other people.
Yeah, like, and I think it's definitely working up there, because I remember when I wrestled Xander and Seb, there was a point in the match where me and Xander, we did some fast thing, and he had me in a headlock, and I'm getting ready to transition into the next spot. And he said to me, he goes, "Yeah, give me a minute." And I'm like, "Fuck, good boy." Like, you know, I want, yeah, like, communicate with me. Because, you know, when you're working with less experienced people, you think that everything's just going to be rush, 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 rush. But then, you know, he told me, no, give me a minute. I was like, take your time. It's all good, man. Like, and like, I think even recently, I wrestled Davis Storm at MCW. And as soon as we got to the back, he said to me, he goes, "Dude, your timing is just brilliant." He's like, "I expected you to just be like, boom, 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 boom. But like, you were selling longer like than expected for me to then transition into whatever he was doing." And I was like, I just got to listen to the people, and then I'll turn around when they're a bit dead, you know.
And it's good. It's good.
Train if it happens.
Oh yeah, just listen and then turn around. Then you're right. I will say that is like, it's good to hear stuff like that about someone like Xander, because a lot of times if they're in there with someone that, like, as experienced as you, they might be just nervous and go, "Oh fuck, he said now, so I better do it." Cause you know what I mean? Instead of like trusting his own instincts to think, "No, hang on. I think if we hold on, we're going to get this." Cause I'm sure if it was too long, you'd be like, "Nah, it's too long. Do it," sort of thing.
Yeah. And I like another example, when I wrestled Lynxy for Suplex, the referee, she was a young girl who's a great referee. She came up to me afterwards. She goes, "Oh my God, I've never had a wrestler speak to me so much in the match." I go, "Well, I got to communicate with you though, you know, like, like if he's on the other side of the ring, I can't just walk over to him and remind him what we're going into. So I'll let you know, and then you can go and tell him, and then we can, you know, hopefully don't stuff up." She goes, "Oh, I've never had that." I said, "Well, just
now you have,
you know, now you have." It's just a learning curve. It's just constantly learning, you know, like And that's why I enjoy getting to wrestle like less experienced people so that they can learn. Like, they probably do go into the match nervous and, oh my God, it's Adam Brooks. Like, whatever, man. I'm here to wrestle too. Let's go out there and just have fun and kill it. And hopefully we can both learn something, you know?
Yeah.
Because I learn wrestling less experienced people as well, you know? I love it.
Yeah, because if anything, I suppose if anything, it also tests you to, like, can I bring this kid up, or can I help this kid out in some sort of way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've been wrestling in Adelaide now in both like ACW and RCW. How different are those crowds for those two different shows? Because I know because from working a Rampage show and then working an RCW show, those two crowds are very different. Is it the same with ACW and RCW?
I think they are a little bit different, because like I'll notice like people that only come to ACW, but they won't go to RCW. I mean, I guess I'm established at both places, but then, yeah, it's weird. Like, I might wrestle at like ACW on like a Friday night, and then someone from ACW will be like, "Oh, where are you wrestling anywhere tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm in Adelaide again." For, you know, another company called Riot City Wrestling. And they'll be like, "Oh, that's in Adelaide?" Like, it's really weird. I don't know. But I guess as far as reaction, I think that they reacted the same stuff.
Like, I know just from what I've watched of, like, I'll take it because it's the only thing I know of, really. Rampage and RCW, they are two very different styles of wrestling. I mean, of course, the moves are the same, but the psychology is very different between the two different shows. And I think that breeds two different fans, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that within those two companies.
I don't know if that would be the same between like a PCW and an MCW. I don't know if that's the same, because I've really watched much of.
Yeah, but PCW react to the same sort of style as like an MCW match, I guess, because I wrestled for PCW a couple of months ago, and I was like to them, like, will they react at this sort of a match? And the boys were like, yeah, they will. Sure enough, they did the "This is awesome" stuff. They did all that, so.
Yeah, well, they've had Royce there for the last, so they'd be used to that sort of stuff now, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah, good point. Yeah, good point.
So who are, like, we've talked about Royce. Who are the young guys? Because now, if you think about it, MCW, well, they technically haven't lost them, but you guys will be gone, I'd say, for a fair bit once the world starts kicking back into gear and you start appearing on more Ring of Honor shows. Who are the young guys now that are going to take those places of the upper card at MCW, do you think?
Well, I'm hoping, and I'm not just saying this as like a biased thing because they're my boys, but I think Loverboy and the Brat Pack, surely they're going to be the dudes to step up. And like I always say to them, and I sort of joke with them now, I'm like, "Boys, me and Slexi, we might not be there much longer, dudes. Like, it's time for you boys to step up." Like, I'll always just, you know, give it to them a little bit.
Basically, so like what Matt was doing boys to you years ago.
Obviously, Royce, he'll probably do some good stuff. And like all those dudes working with guys like me and Dowie, like that will help them. Who else is at Amsterdam? Jet and Tyson, those dudes are good. They'll be sweet. Those dudes will be sweet. Avery, she'll be good, but like there's not many girls in Melbourne now either.
No.
Because they grabbed Cowles as well. So hopefully there's some girls that are coming through to sort of, you know, because MCW just got a women's title, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, like in that one swoop, they lost Indy, they lost Kel, they lost you, and we haven't technically lost you yet, but you and Slacks. So that's like four people that were at the top end of the MCW sort of landscape, I guess you'd say it. And that's a hell of a gap to be filling, and it's going to be interesting to see who decides they're going to step up, especially now after this break, because I think somebody said it today on Twitter. I saw it's going to be a real good barometer to see who actually wants it when this whole thing comes back. So who's actually stayed in shape? Who's actually still? And even though, like, there could be some that have just gone, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I've had my break. I feel kind of good. I might just go and play footy. Do you know what I mean?
That's all. That's fine. Get out. We don't need it. But no. You're right. Like it will show who wants this. And like, in my opinion, there's more to being a wrestler than gym selfies and working, showing everyone that you're working out. Like, I understand, like, okay, cool. Like, but like, we're all doing that. You know, the wrestlers are doing that. Like, I'm doing that, but I don't need to show the world that, oh, here's me. I just finished working out. Like, cool. You know, like, I like to let my actions speak louder than just showing everyone what I'm doing, you know. But
I was going to ask you about that. Do you think, because you're not huge on social media at all, so do you think that in some way sort of like slowed you being able to go to that sort of the ROH upper let, you know what I mean? Because you weren't out there all the time, like saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. Do you think, I know that you were just like, I just want my actions to speak for me and my ring work to speak for me. And anyone who knows wrestling or knew wrestling in Australia would like, Adam Brooks is one of the best. I don't know why he hasn't been fucking signed yet. Do you think it's because you weren't as active on social media?
No, because I was traveling more than those people that are showing off all these gym selfies and all that crap, you know, like while they're here doing that, I'm traveling the world focusing on my wrestling because I'm a wrestler. So, hey, maybe that is true, but I don't think so. You know, I was too busy just killing it as much as I can, traveling all over the place. That's how I was getting my name out there, you know?
Mm.
But hey, everyone's different, man. Like, but to go off track a little bit, yes, this will show, you know, who's dedicated, who's passionate, and you know, about this.
So when you hit eventually, because I'm guessing that you have no idea at the moment what's going on at all about even because international travel, you don't even know when international travel is going to be hit up again. Has like Ring of Honor just going, look, it's cool, whenever we'll work this out when we're allowed to work it out? Is that's sort of what's happening at the moment? Because everything's in limbo, yeah. I guess, there. And
We they emailed us. They obviously said, you know, this is the situation that we're all aware of it.
Yeah.
You know. So I've just kind of left it at that. You know, I don't want to hassle them because, like, there's more important things that are happening in the world. Like, their country's pretty effed up at the moment. So, I'm assuming they'll just, you know, when things are okay to travel, that's when we'll get back into it. But like, they're still paying us, which is like so admirable. Like I got an email and they were like, oh yeah, look, we're still going to pay you for, you know, these dates that, you know, we had you booked for. And I was like, oh wow. Like I didn't expect that at all. So the fact that they're still paying dudes, I think that just shows, you know, as a company, what they're like. Like, I was so impressed.
Yeah, and they really had, the last 3 to 6 months, they'd really sort of started turning the ship around, because I know that everybody was bagging on them for the last God knows how long, saying, oh, they've lost it. The whole New Japan thing is ruined now and blah, 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 blah. But over the last 6 months since, like, somebody new sort of taken the reins of the place, and they're bringing in all these new guys. But even I said 6 months ago, you got to wait for these guys that are coming up to blossom, because that's what happened back in the day with ROH. It wasn't just like everyone was always good and then the other guys left and the other guys were just good straight away. It didn't happen like that. Maybe when you're looking back, it did. But like, if you were actually there watching it, you know there were some shows in between when, like, Kevin Steen and that were there and then they left, and then Adam Cole came through, and there were some shows there that were not good. But just the social media wasn't the way it is now. Or even from, like, Danielson through to that. But, the way they've done it and the way they've been sort of, like, picking the guys that they're bringing in has been, like, I think that's got a lot to do with their connection with World Series Wrestling down here. So they would have seen a lot of the Australian talent. The guys that have come over would have seen a lot of the Australian talent from doing those tours, possibly.
Yeah. I think that's what, if you look back, like you were saying, if you look back on like ROH's history, they would bring in these guys that were pretty much no names at the time, you know? Like in 2002, no one knew who a CM Punk was or an Austin Aries or anything like that. In 2000, I got Final Battle 2010 on DVD. And the first match, it's like Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, just these little generic looking dudes. And I was like, who are these guys? And they went out there and they killed them. It's like, you know, once guys may move on, all right, let's get some new hungry guys and they'll come in and then they'll kill it and they can develop. And that's exactly like, that's all I needed. Like, that's honestly all I needed and all I wanted. Because if I went elsewhere, because for years, I've always said, I want to be there, I want to be there, I want to be there. But the last year or so, I was thinking, you know what? If I went there, I'd probably just be hanging out, doing nothing. Mm. Whereas, I'm sure the money would be pretty cool, but, you know, maybe I should take a different path. And I want to go there and I want to kill it. And then just make a name for myself there and just do what I can. Yeah.
Become a commodity. So then if you do eventually go there, it's not a fact of, oh, we're just going to put him away and train him for the next 6 months on house show loops. They'll already say, oh, this is this guy. He's got fucking this much buzz in the indie wrestling. We're just going to put him straight on TV sort of deal.
Like, and that's the thing, if you look at that product right now, the top guys are guys that have been all over the world and made a name for themselves, you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%, 100%.
But, hey, who knows? I may want to just, who knows what I'll be doing in, like, 10 years, man? Like, it's all about being happy. That's what matters.
That's right. And I'm happy I finally got to catch up with you, mate. Put out all your merch, where people can buy your merch and all that stuff, because, like, still every week.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Every week, mate.
That's an old one.
Well, you know, I've got to cover something because the light hits the bald spot and shines it up. Yeah. But tell the people how they can get all your merch and all that deal.
So I got a Big Cartel store. It's just brooksymerch.bigcartel.com. Everything on there until I start wrestling again is only $5. So that's been pretty sweet. People have been buying a lot of stuff there. I've got a pro wrestling tee store. And then the new wrestler merch store that everyone's jumping on, all the Aussies are jumping on. I have one of those stores, which I think I need a shout out wrestler merch here, because I think that's such a sick idea. Like, everyone's talking about like the growth of the Australian scene and, you know, da da da, all that. That if Australia ever gets to like a point that like the UK ever was, like, I think people need to look back and go, man, that wrestler merch, like, they helped a lot. Because they do all the work. Send us your designs, Adam. Here's me designs. We'll print it. We'll ship it off. We'll do everything. And then, you know, at the start of the month, here's some money for the amount of shirts you sold. Like, it's so good. It's the best.
Yeah.
So, and
well, it's basically the pro wrestling tees model, isn't it?
100%. 100%. So, yeah. Like, if, you know, if you're in America, go pro wrestling tees. If you're in Australia, go wrestler merch, because the pro wrestling tees shipping is crazy, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's not great. It's not great. Well, I'm such a fucking idiot that for the last 3 weeks, I've been plugging wrestle merch, which is not the site at all.
No, it's wrestler.
I know that now. But for the last 3 weeks, I've been going, go to wrestle merch and get all your shit.
Ah.
So I feel like an idiot. But I'm going to go and change all of that shit so no one will know. I'll just fucking Thanos it. So
yeah.
Fucking people will know. But no, wrestler merch. So don't go to wrestle merch because it's not the right place. Wrestle merch. All your Aussie wrestlers, well, most of now, are getting on the bandwagon, and even some of the promotions as well. So go and support those guys, especially some guys like Brooksy. Brooksy, I know for a fact, his weekend wrestling, not sort of hot at the moment. So he's not sort of getting the income that he used to be able to get.
Dude, it sucks. Can't do nothing.
Can't do nothing. Have you at least got like a gym set up?
Can't wrestle. Can't go to the gym. My bloody miso's in another state. I can't do nothing. So buy my merch.
Oh shit. All right. So what we're gonna do now is the usual gimmick for everyone that watches the YouTube. We're gonna go to a match where Brooksy and I are gonna talk through. If you're listening to the podcast, you're not gonna hear that. You're just gonna hear me talking about thanking Brooksy for coming on the show and all that sort of shit. But for those people, so we'll see you later. And for Brooksy, we're going to go to the match. Tell everyone what the match is going to be we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about me and Slexi from January, because he's one of my favorite guys to wrestle. And it will.
All right.
For a while. But I kind of knew that it wouldn't be our last together, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to see. Yeah. We'll talk about it during the match anyway. So, for people listening to the podcast, Brooksy, thanks for coming on, mate.
Nah, cheers for having me, Brad. Thank you for listening to everyone. And, yeah, hopefully I'll see you all very soon, 'cause I want to wrestle. I'm losing my mind.
I want to wrestle.
Dude, I want to.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Adam Brooks. It's great to catch up with him. Good mate, and always fun to catch up with the Loose Ledge. Also, big thank you to Mikey and the guys over at MCW for their for use of the footage. Go and subscribe to MCW On Demand. It's on their website, MCW, MelbourneCityWrestling.com, and go and subscribe. So much stuff on their on-demand service you wouldn't believe.
and not bad for pricing as well. You'll get to see the whole evolution of Brooksy, Matt Silver, like the who's who of Australian wrestling has been at Melbourne City Wrestling. So do get on and support them at MCW On Demand. If you want to support us, though, make sure, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. You can do it on YouTube now, Stitcher, iTunes. Well, iTunes is now Apple Podcasts. Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, or your vodcast with YouTube, please hit the subscribe button and also your notifications, because then you'll know when we come up. Because lately I've been doing, when I upload the shows, I've been doing them as premieres as well. So you'll see it live and do a live chat if you want to do it. I don't know how many people do that, because I just end up like doing it and then going off and doing my thing, because this pretty much takes up most of my weekend doing the editing, unfortunately. But that's just what I do. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears and share the show around the country, because that's what we want to do, is spread the word about professional wrestling around this country. You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. We are also on Instagram at WrestleRadioAU for that too. If you do want to support the local industry, if you do want to support the local industry, subscribe to one of the streaming services, even if it's just the YouTube for like the Riot City Wrestling channel or the Australian Wrestling League channel. They're on YouTube and they're free. So subscribe to them. You'll catch up on all the good stuff that's been happening over in Adelaide, on the stuff we're doing up here in Queensland. Again, we did it on the interview with Brooksy. WrestlerMerch.com. Go and support the boys and girls out there that aren't really getting any, well, they aren't getting any bookings at all, because all the shows are shut down at the moment. So if you can spare a couple of coins and get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a 8x10 if they have other sites for that sort of stuff, go and do it, please. If you want to support us, you can do that at redbubble.com. It's just Wrestle Radio Australia. Just look us up, you'll find us. Any proceeds made from that don't go to me at all. They go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that really do help with mental health, especially with Gotcha for Life. They help with helping young men talk about their issues. I talk about this every week, so if you're a listener to the show, you know exactly what Gotcha for Life do. They do great stuff, and we do very much support them. Before we go, I had something this week where I did a late night post on Twitter, and I think we'll show it up now. I did one of those things late at night. And here's a tip for you people at home. If you want to do something on Twitter and you want to post something late at night, maybe just write it, don't post it. Look at it in the morning. If you still feel like you want to post it, then post it. I didn't do it, but like I looked at it in the morning and I was still okay with it. So there you go. I just wrote, I sometimes wish promotions would help support the shows that every week do the same for them. Not complaining, just frustrated at times. Just frustrating at times. Which, to be honest with you, it can be, and it is. It is frustrating. Because guys like myself and On the Turnbuckle and the B-Plus podcast, all they do is support Australian professional wrestling. Every promotion that is a good promotion, that is decent, that we know help the guys and just want to bring on the best they possibly can in Australian professional wrestling, we do try and support, promote, and as much as we can do to help them grow. And to be perfectly honest, I'd like one day for them to, because we're all in this, like it's a thing going on, and we're all in this together, and we are professional wrestling. We're all in this together. We're all, as podcasts, all we do is support the guys that are trying to put on the shows. And I just feel like that we do that and we promote everyone, and it would be nice that if they did the same. I'm not complaining. I am complaining, but I'm not bitching about it. So that's all that post was about. I got a couple of messages asking me about it and stuff like that, so I thought I'd bring it up and sort of clear the air with that. So not complaining. I'm just saying that, yeah, it would be nice if they promoted us like we promoted them. That's all. So that'll be it for this episode of Wrestle Raid Australia. I'm Todd Eastman, and we will see you next week.